Good morning, dear Sangha. This is a happy moment. Today is the 14th of March, the year 2010. We are in the Dharma Cloud Temple, Stillwater Meditation Hall, beginning our spring practice. Next week there will be a retreat for Italian people in Rome, and many of us will go there in order to help lead the retreat. And after that we shall have a French speaking retreat right here in Plumlish. We will only speak French. So please come in large number. The French speaking retreats in Plumlish are very well attended. Many of us don't have to fly to Plumlish, they just drive in. And our French speaking practitioners, they always feel that coming back to Plumlish for a French speaking retreat is like going home, very happy. And the French retreat will last 7 days. Of course, there will be a lazy day, but there will be 5 Dharma talks in French and 1 session of question and answer in French. And then in the month of June, we will have a retreat for German-speaking people at the European Institute of Applied Buddhism. And right after that, we will have a retreat for Dutch-speaking people, also at the Institute of Applied Buddhism. And then we shall have the summer opening here in Plumlish. And later in the day, in the year, they will go with a number of friends of monastics to Southeast Asia for a teaching tour in Southeast Asia, Indonesia, Malaysia, Singapore, Thailand, and so on. We all have enjoyed our winter retreat. The winter retreat was like a sandwich. We begin with one very solid month of practice, and then we enjoy Christmas, New Year, and ordination ceremony. That's the the peanut butter and and strawberry jam. And then we have another month with the monastic retreat. So it was a very delicious sandwich. About 100 days. It's good that we can have that every year. We don't have to go anywhere. We can stay together 100 days and practice. The theme of the winter retreat is the art of happiness. And we have learned that happiness has to do with suffering. And suffering is somehow useful. If you know how to recognize and make use of suffering, we can create happiness. It's like in order to grow lotus flowers, you need the mud. Without mud, you cannot create lotus flowers. So, no mud, no flower. That is a very short statement, but it reflects the non-dualistic thinking of Buddhism. So if you speak of happiness and well-being, you have to take into account the elements that can make up happiness and well-being, namely the elements of suffering and ill-being. So a good practitioner would look on ill-being and suffering as something positive also. Because if you want to grow lotus flower, you need the mud. Thầy Nguyễn Hải and other big brothers in the Upper Hamlet are digging a pond in order to grow lotus there. And they will need the mud in order for the lotus to grow. So we do need an amount of suffering and ill-being in order to cultivate our lotus of happiness and well-being. But we don't have to create more suffering and ill-being because we do have enough, and sometimes more than enough. So the problem is just to recognize the presence of ill-being, of suffering that is already there. Accept them as they are and learn from them and try to make good use of them. And that is an art. A good practitioner is someone that has the capacity to handle suffering and to handle happiness. Happiness has to be handled, and suffering has to be handled. And in Pramlesh, we don't just talk about happiness and suffering, but we learn how to handle our happiness. We have learned, we learn how to handle our suffering. And handle happiness and handle suffering, they are not exactly two separate things. If we know the way to handle suffering, we know also the way to handle happiness. If you are an organic gardener, you know that the garbage plays an important role in the garden. If you know how to take care of the garbage, you have enough elements in order to nourish the flowers and the vegetable. And taking care of the flower means to taking care of the garbage at the same time. Happiness, well-being, is about feelings. It's about emotions. But they involve more. But we should begin with feelings and emotions. Sensations and feelings. We should know how to take care. There is a river of feelings flowing day and night in us. Our body has feelings. And our mind has feelings. There is a multitude of feelings succeeding each other, and it flows like a river. And to meditate is to be there in order to recognize our feelings and take good care of them. And you know that there are pleasant feelings, there are painful feelings, and there are neutral feelings. And according to the teaching of the Buddha, well, you have to be there in order to take care of your feeling. When there is a pleasant feeling, you are there to recognize it. Hello, my pleasant feeling, I know you are there. I will take care of you. So first of all, you recognize the feeling, the pleasant feeling. And you are yourself. When you recognize the feeling, you are not taken away by your feeling, even if it is a nice, pleasant feeling. You are not pulled away by your feeling, even if that is a feeling of joy. So when a feeling of joy, a pleasant feeling manifest, you as a practitioner, you recognize it. You say hello to it. Hello, my feeling. I know you are a pleasant feeling. I will take good care of you. So the first thing is to recognize it. And mindfulness is the energy that can recognize your feeling. And it is mindfulness that helps you to still be yourself and not be pulled away by your feeling. So you are still yourself and you take good care of your feeling. Because you are more than your feeling. A feeling is just a feeling. You are much more than a feeling. And mindfulness is a kind of energy that you can generate in order to recognize the feeling. When there is a painful feeling, you do exactly the same. You don't let yourself pull away by the painful feeling. You just recognize it. Hello, my painful feeling. I know you are there. I go take good care of you. So mindfulness is the kind of energy you generate in order to recognize and take care of your feeling. And when mindfulness is there, you are still yourself. You are not pulled away by your feeling, even if it is a painful feeling. And that exercise, that practice is called a simple mere recognition. La reconnaissance pure et simple, une sensation. So a good practitioner would be able to handle both a pleasant feeling and a painful feeling. If you don't know how to handle your feelings, you are not a practitioner. You are not a good practitioner. And if you know how to handle your feelings, you can still be yourself. And there is the third category of feeling, the neutral feeling. It's neither pleasant nor unpleasant. And these neutral feelings may make up the majority of your feelings. You don't feel painful, but you don't feel pleasant either. And that is called a neutral feeling. A neutral feeling. But in the light of the teaching, you know that the neutral feeling can be easily transformed into a pleasant feeling, a feeling of well-being. And every good practitioner should be able to do that. You have to be able to transform a neutral feeling into a pleasant feeling. Because if you look deeply, if you touch deeply that neutral feeling, you know that it is really a feeling of well-being. In your body, there is no pain. In your mind, there is no pain. No joy, yes, but there is no pain. And if you don't know how to handle that neutral feeling, it will become boring. And you will go and look for strong feeling. And that's what the young people of our time like to do. They are bored. They don't suffer, but they are bored. And getting bored is a form of suffering. And that is why a good practitioner is someone that is capable of looking deeply and see that neutral feeling is really a feeling of well-being. You don't suffer in your body. You don't suffer in your mind. That's good. And suddenly it becomes a wonderful feeling. And in Brahmadesh, we used to talk about our toothache as an example. Every time we have a toothache, we suffer. There is a painful feeling. It's midnight, and you suffer. And you say that in order to solve the suffering, you have to go to the dentist, but the dentist will not open before 9 o'clock. So you have to suffer from now to 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock. And during that time, you can get some kind of enlightenment. That enlightenment is not to have a toothache is a wonderful thing. That's already enlightenment. Not to have a toothache is a wonderful thing. It is a feeling of well-being. But now in this moment, do you have a toothache? No. You don't have a toothache now. And that is a feeling. That could be described as a feeling of well-being. But you don't enjoy your non-toothache. The feeling you get when you do not have a toothache is a neutral feeling. And why you suffer? Because of your toothache. You recognize that non-toothache is a good feeling, it's a nice feeling. So that neutral feeling is really a feeling of your well-being and not a neutral feeling. And a good practitioner can transform all these neutral feelings into nice, pleasant feelings of well-being. You have well-being in your body. You have well-being in your mind, but you don't know how to enjoy. You don't appreciate until it vanishes. And that is ignorance. And most of us are like that. We don't treasure the good things that are there. We wait until they disappear in order to complain. So a good practitioner should be able to recognize the neutral feelings and make them into feelings of well-being. When you walk from your residence to the meditation hall, you go there in order to do sitting meditation. And walking like that is to arrive in a meditation hall to do sitting. But there is a way of walking that can create pleasant feelings of health, well-being and happiness. And as a monk, as a lay person, why you make steps like that from your residence to the meditation hall, you can walk in such a way that every step bring you well-being, enjoy. Walking meditation in Plum Village is one of the basic practices. And we have the opportunity to practice walking like that all day long. Going to the dining hall, going to the restroom, going to the meditation hall, you can always adapt the techniques of mindful walking. You have strong feet, and making a step, you can touch all the wonders of life. You can touch the feeling of well-being in you. You can recognize the fresh air. You can recognize the stars, the fog. And there are so many wonderful things within you and around you for you to recognize. And every step is an opportunity for you to transform a neutral feeling into a pleasant feeling, a feeling of joy, a feeling of peace, so that you can get the nourishment and the healing that you need. And every one of us needs nourishment and healing. It's you who provide yourself with nourishment and healings. Because walking like that is very nourishing, very healing. And you only need some mindfulness, some concentration, in order to be there and enjoy your step. You are not taken away by your thinking while walking. You are yourself. You are inhabited by the energy of mindfulness. That is why you are yourself. And when we see you walking like that, we know that you are inhabited by the holy energy of mindfulness, concentration, and you enjoy the present moment. That helps us to do the same. In the Dhammapada Sutra, there is a chapter on bhikkhus, bhikkhunis. And the last verse of the chapter is about a young bhikshu, young monk, young nun. The Buddha said that the bhikshu, even if he is very young, still young. But if he practices wholeheartedly, he'll be like a full moon in the sky, shining brightly the world. A full moon that has no dark cloud around. Very beautiful. That is the way the Buddha described a young monk. If he is dedicated to the practice of the Buddha Dhamma, he shines like a full moon in the sky. He shines, even illuminates the world. And we know that most of the the monastic disciples of the Buddha were young. Only the Kashyapa brothers were old. But most of them were very young. When the Buddha came back to Rajagraha, so many young people followed him and became monastics. And many of them were very dedicated to the practice. And they can have a very beautiful impact on society. In America, there is the expression, walking the talk. I think this expression has been created by Americans. Walking the talk, to walk the talk. You don't talk, you just walk. Walk in the talk, that it doesn't mean that you walk and talk at the same time. Walk in the talk means you say something, but you just don't say it. You do it. You do it. And how to do it? You do it with mindfulness. Mindfulness is the energy that you generate in order for you to be there. To be there in the present moment. To live your daily life deeply. To live every moment of your daily life deeply. And when they see a brother or sister walking like that, enjoying every step, creating feelings of happiness, well-being, Thay is very happy. Because Thay see that he or she is walking his talk. And peace, happiness, radiate from such a bhikshu or bhikshuni. And that inspire many people. You don't have to do a lot. We just practice our daily practice. And we inspire the world. And we become the moon shining, illuminating the world just by our way of walking, our way of sitting. We create hope. Happiness and suffering is about feelings. But it is linked to our perception. Beside the river of feelings that flow day and night in us, there is another river. It's called the river of perceptions. You perceive something and you have an idea of that something. And your perception may be correct, may be incorrect. And when your perceptions are not correct, you create suffering for yourself, and you create suffering for others. Wrong perceptions bring about anger. Bring about despair. Brings about jealousy. And so on. And anger, despair, jealousy, and fear, they create feelings. They create painful feelings. And that is why happiness has to do with perceptions. Happiness has to do with perceptions. And that is why practitioners should take care of their perceptions. You have a perception. And you have to be there for your perception. You have to ask whether that perception is correct or not correct. And most of the time, our perceptions are not correct. And there are ways in order for us to find out whether our perceptions are correct or not. The other person, we may have the perception that he doesn't like us. He's trying to make us suffer. And that is a perception. But that may not be true. That may be only your perception, your imagination. The other person is trying to kill me. You get that perception. I have to try to kill him before he kill me. That is the cause of terrorism. The roots of terrorism, perceptions. Terrorism brings a lot of fear and anger and violence. Fear, anger, and violence come from perceptions. You think that he doesn't like you. He doesn't like your religion. He does not like your culture. He's talking ill of you. You are anger. You are angry. You are not respected. They do not acknowledge your way of life. They think that they are superior and you want to punish. And wrong perceptions is on this part. And wrong perception is on the other part. And when wrong perceptions come from both sides, that is hell. And that is why the practice is to remove wrong perception in yourself. And without meditation, you cannot do it. Meditation means to look deeply into the nature of your perception. And when you are able to remove the wrong perception in you, you don't suffer anymore. You have compassion. You see the suffering of the other person. He is still caught by his wrong perceptions. He makes himself suffer and he makes you suffer. But now you have seen the truth. You have freed yourself from wrong perceptions. You are in a position to help him to do the same. And with the practice of deep listening, with the practice of loving speech, you can help him to remove the wrong perceptions in himself. And that is the work of peace, the work of reconciliation. So, political leaders, they should try some meditation. They should know how to learn how to take care of their feelings, their perceptions. And if they know how to remove their wrong perceptions, they will be freer. They will be more compassionate. And they may be able to help the other side that they have considered to be enemies and make them into allies. And this is always possible. Wrong perceptions are the kind of perception that do not reflect the truth. The truth is like this, but wrong perceptions make the truth like this, upside down. vọng tưởng điên đảo. Điên đảo means upside down. Vọng tưởng means wrong perceptions. That expression is in the Heart Sutra. Reality is impermanent, and you think of reality as permanent. So that's upside down. There is no separate self, and you believe that there is a self upside down. So you have many wrong perceptions. We put reality upside down. And that is the cause of a lot of suffering. So a practitioner of meditation should do his best, her best, to take care of his perceptions in order to be free, and that he removes suffering. On this side, there is the body. Shak body. Because meditation includes the body. You cannot meditate without your body. Your brain belongs to your body. Your mind has to be based on your body. So the body may be a source of feelings also. The body may be a source of feelings. And by taking good care of your body, you can avoid a lot of painful feeling. Painful feeling can come from the body. Feeling of well-being also can come from the body. Wrong perception bring painful feeling. The perception of the correct perception of reality bring well-being. So happiness involves not only feelings, but also body and perceptions. And also, there is another element. Mental formations. Tâm hành. Citta, samskara. Mental formations. There are seeds in our consciousness. We have a seed of joy. We have a seed of sorrow. We have a seed of love. We have a seed of hate. We have many kind of seeds in our consciousness. And in our tradition, we speak of 51 categories of mental formation. Compassion, loving kindness is good mental formations. Despair, jealousy, fear are unwholesome mental formations. And they are all there in our consciousness, sleeping. So our consciousness preserves all these mental formations in the form of seeds. And when the seeds are watered, they sprout, they manifest. Suppose you have someone come and talk to you, and he waters the seed of anger in you. He says something, you get angry. Before that, you were not angry, you were fine. You were in a state of non-anger, and you can enjoy your well-being. But because he came and he said something, he touched the seed of anger in you and it manifests. You lose your state of non-anger and you got into the state of anger. It means the seed of anger has manifested. And when the seed of anger is manifested, it becomes a mental formation, a citta samskara. And it gave a feeling of suffering. But when the seed of compassion in you is watered, you have many good seeds, including the seed of compassion. And one sister come and talk to you, and she watered the seed of compassion, and you feel wonderful. And the seed of compassion manifests. And the seed of compassion brings a feeling of joy. And that is why, in order to practice happiness, to handle suffering, you have to take care of all the mental formations in you, even before they manifest. When they are not manifested, they are called seeds, bijas, chủng tử. Bijas, chủng tử. And when you water and they manifest, they call it hiện hành. This is a mental formation that is manifested from the seeds. A seed manifested in order to become a mental formation, and that mental formation solidify the seed. So when a good seed is manifested, you are happy. And as a good practitioner, you might like to entertain that mental formation. You want to keep it for a long time. The feeling of joy, the feeling of brotherhood, sisterhood, the feeling of compassion. It's good to have that seed manifest in you. And if you are a good practitioner, you try to keep it as long as possible. And during that time, the seed down there has an opportunity to grow stronger. Next time it will manifest much more easily. This is an art. That is the art of watering and nurturing the seeds in us. But when a seed of anger manifests, a good practitioner would not like to entertain it too long. It has to recognize it. We have to recognize it, and we have to help it go back to the state of a seed. Sometimes we keep it in order to look deeply into its nature, but we don't allow it to stay there too long in order for its seed down there to grow, to be consolidated. So happiness or suffering has to do with body, with perceptions, and with mental formations. And if you want to deal with the question of happiness and suffering, you have to deal with all these four domains. A good practitioner knows how to handle a painful feeling. A painful feeling can be helpful. You can learn from it. You can use it in order to nourish our happiness. A good practitioner knows how to handle a pleasant feeling. A pleasant feeling may be nourishing or not nourishing, may be healthy or not. Alcohol, when you smoke marijuana, you may feel wonderful, but that pleasant feeling will bring later on the opposite kind of feelings. That is why you have to be there in order to recognize it. And because you are mindful, you are still yourself. And you decide what to do and what not to do. You have your sovereignty. As a good practitioner, you know how to transform all these neutral feelings into wonderful, pleasant feelings, feelings of well-being. And as a good practitioner, you know how to take care of your body, to take care of your perceptions, and to take care of the seeds in your consciousness. When the Buddha said, a bhikkhu who practiced wholeheartedly, well, he mentioned this kind of practice. Because he had given concrete instructions as how to practice. And we know this practice is not only for monks and nuns. Everyone knowing the practice and applied into the daily life will experience well-being, happiness, compassion, and joy.